Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And our subject this morning is believing but unbelieving. Believing but unbelieving. That is what is presented to us here, this strange saying. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. These words in the gospel according to Mark. And we will endeavor to make sense of these words and to apply these words this morning. Words which appear to be a great contradiction, because this is what he's doing. He's declaring that he believes, and yet he doesn't believe at the same time. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And perhaps it may sound a little confusing. Why does he say, help thou mine unbelief? Really, he's saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, assist me with my unbelief. Help me to remove it. It's a bit like if you were trying to remove somebody from a crowd who was causing trouble. If somebody came into the church and was causing trouble, well, you would try to remove them, but you might say to somebody, help me with this person, this troublesome person, to get them out. Well, this is the sense here. He's not saying help his unbelief. He's saying, help me, help thou mine unbelief, help me to remove it. Lord, I believe, but there is also unbelief. He's acknowledging both things exist in him, belief and unbelief. And this may seem quite strange, as I've already mentioned, but you know, this is actually quite common. This is very common, in fact, I might add. He is certainly not the only person in history to have uttered these words or words like this. Many people have cried these words out. I've cried these words out. Many Christians cry these words out, and non-Christians, of course. So he is not alone, and we are going to spend just a few moments this morning, just a brief time, seeking to understand what these words mean, to make sense of this statement. But before we begin, well, we have to look at the context. Whenever we want to understand anything in the Bible, the context is always so important. So, when we look at the context of these words, well, there is something very dramatic going on, I'm sure, as you would have gathered from the second scripture reading. So this man who cries out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, this man has a son who is afflicted, greatly afflicted in a terrible way. We read in verse 17 what he says to the Lord, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is speaking of a demonic possession. And demonic possession was common in the time of Christ, or relatively common in the time of Christ. Not so common nowadays, of course. But in the time of Christ, it seems to be the case that demons had greater power to possess people, seemingly against their will. And this boy, this son, has been possessed by, he calls it a dumb spirit. What does that mean? That means that the spirit, this demon, has taken away this this young man's ability to speak. If somebody is deaf and dumb, they cannot speak. So this spirit, this demon, has entered into this young man. He cannot speak. It is a dumb spirit. But it's far more than that. It's far more than just he cannot speak. this demon seems to have control over his body. Look at verse 18. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. So this demon, well, he can throw this young man's body to the ground in convulsions. He teareth him, that's what it means. And this poor man is foaming at the mouth, gnashing with his teeth, and he's pining away. What does that mean? Well, literally it means that he's withering away. Perhaps this young man, he's emaciated, he's entirely thin, he can't eat. There's a demon in him. Or maybe it means that he appears far older than his years. His youth has been taken away by this demon. He looks unnaturally aged and elderly. So this is a terrible affliction, a terrible case of demon possession. And so this man has brought his son first to his to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they could not do anything for him. If you see at the end of verse 18, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So the disciples can't do anything. And so he brings him to the Lord Jesus. And if we just move down a little to verse 21, and the Lord Jesus asks this man, the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So we assume that this son is perhaps maybe in his teens, perhaps, but even from his infancy, he has been afflicted with this demon possession. And verse 22, oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So this man makes a plea to the Lord. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We'll come back to those words. But verse 24, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So that is the context. What a dramatic situation that is going on here. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, let us try and make sense of these words. Let us try and apply them generally to ourselves and to the gospel, of course. This is a gospel message, so we begin to make gospel applications. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, now, the first thing we can say, the first very simple thing we can say about this is, well, of course, we know and we acknowledge that there are many people in this world who believe and yet they don't believe. There are many people, not necessarily Christians, who believe that there is a greater meaning to this life. They believe that there is something higher, something greater than just the ordinary. There's something greater than just work, rest, and play. They know that. There are many who believe that there is a greater power than us, a higher power than us, something that is ruling over everything, a God of some kind. There are many, many people who believe that. But then at the same time, there is also unbelief. So they believe that there's more to life. They believe that there may be a God. But then they will say to you in the same breath, well, yes, there may be a God, but we can't possibly know this God. I don't believe you can know this God. And you can't possibly know anything about him. And you can't possibly know the meaning of life for yourself. There are many people, they believe, yes, there's something higher, there's something greater, but there's also unbelief. We can't possibly know this God. So this is something that is in the world generally. People believe, and yet there is unbelief. And this is, this is a very sad state to be in, really. This is what we call agnosticism. People who believe that, well, maybe there is something out there, but we can't possibly know. Dear friends, we can know. We can know there is a God, of course, and we can know that God. We can know God. Well, the Bible teaches us you can even know God just from looking around yourself at the world in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. You can tell a lot about God. You can tell a lot about God from his creation. Creation is God's handiwork. It's his work. And just like any piece of work that you do, you can always tell a lot about somebody from the work that they do, from the fruit of their labors. You can tell so much about God. You see the natural world. You see how ordered it is, how orderly, how designed it is. There are laws, laws of physics, laws of gravity. What does that tell you about God? He's a God of law and order. He does everything decently and in order. You can know God even through creation. This is not by accident, by chance. Everything is ordered. Everything is designed in creation. Everything is so complex. Every created being, you look even at the human body, we are so complex. The smallest cell, the most basic cell in our bodies, is so complex. What does that tell you about God? Well, he's an all-wise God. His intellect far exceeds any single one of us. If even the smallest cell in our body is so complex we can't understand it, how great is God and his intellect? We know so much about the Lord. You look up at the universe and the skies and how vast they are, the great expanse. This speaks to us about the eternal nature of God. So many things I could go on, but there is a God and you can know him even through creation, even through observing the world around you. You know people who will go to places of great natural beauty and they will almost say to you, I feel close to God. So dear friends, you can in a sense know God even through creation. But the greatest way, of course, to know God, well, God has given us his word, the word of God, that teaches us very clearly about him, about his character, about what he is like. This is what the Lord has given us. You can know the Lord through his word. And we know so many things. We know about his holiness. We were speaking about the holiness of God last week. We read in the Old Testament in particular how holy God is, how the nation of Israel, this was the first thing they understood about God. You can't just approach him in any way. You have to approach him reverently. There is to be a fear when you approach the living God because he's so holy. He is the holy God and we are so unholy. That is what we learn in the scriptures. We know about God, but we also know about us. We are sinners. God is holy. We see that in his commandments. We are unholy. We are sinners. And God is a God who hates sin. And he must deal with sin. He will not tolerate sin. But dear friends, we learn also in the word of God about the plan of salvation. So yes, God is holy. Yes, we are sinners, but there is a way to God, a way of reconciliation. We can know these things through the word. We can't know these things through nature. We know something about God in nature, but we need the word of God to know God for ourselves, to know how we can be right with God by ourselves and through Christ. That is what we learn through the word of God. So these things, they are, well, very clear. There is belief in this world, but there is unbelief. But we can know the Lord through his word. And we can know about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Again, there was belief and unbelief about the Lord Jesus. At the time of Christ, well, everybody believed in God. All the Jews believed in God. And yet they did not believe that Christ was the Son of God. So there was belief and yet there was unbelief. And maybe there are some people here who are like that. You believe in God, but you do not believe that Christ is the Son of God. You believe that he was, maybe just a prophet maybe just a moral teacher, maybe just a great example, maybe just a wonderful healer, but you don't believe that he is the Son of God. Dear friends, this is so foolish. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, "You believe in God, believe also in me." That's what he said. Don't believe and have unbelief. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this is what we are called to believe in. Christ is God. He's putting himself on the same level as God. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm equal with God. How dare he say that if he was not God, if he was just a man? Who else would say this? You believe in God, believe also in me. It would have to be a man of great arrogance, or else he would have to be saying the truth, telling the truth. You believe in God, believe also in me. He is God. And yet there were so many people. They believed in God, and yet they did not believe that Christ is the Son of God. Belief and unbelief. Dear friends, is that the case with you? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. One of his disciples, Philip, said, "Can you not show us God?" The Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Don't be unbelieving. Do you not know these things? This is what the Word of God is teaching us. If we are to know God, you can know God. But how do we know God? How do we really know the power of God? How do we really know the mercy of God, the compassion of God? How do we know God personally? It's through Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. So, dear friends, don't just believe in God, but you don't believe in Christ. You have to say, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe in God, and I believe that Christ is the Son of God." And you have to believe that Christ is the only way to God. Again, there are some people, they will say, "Well, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he was more than just a man, but I don't believe that he is the only way to God." So again, belief, unbelief. What is it with you? You don't believe that Christ is the only way. You think that Christianity is equal to all the other religions. There are many ways to God. Is that what you believe? You don't believe what the Word of God actually says. So again, belief and unbelief. You think that all ways to God are equal. Dear friends, if you think that, well, again, you are in disagreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's what he said. So, dear friends, do we believe this? Or do you just, well, you believe, yes, I believe that the Lord Jesus is good and he's right and he's true and all these things, but there's also unbelief in you. I can go any other way. I can go any other religion. So now we're starting to see how these words are so applicable to our case, to this world, and perhaps even to some here. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Christ is the only way to God. That is what we know. That is what we believe. Because he's the only Son of God. Because he is the one whom God has provided to be our Savior and to be the one who would reconcile man to God. The only name by which we may be saved. So, dear friends, what do you believe? Is your heart mingled with belief but unbelief? But let us start to apply this more personally. Time is running on. Some people are gripped in this way. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Some people, they hear the gospel call and they think to themselves, "Well, yes, I believe in the gospel. I believe in some way, but I don't believe God is actually calling me. He's not calling me personally. Maybe he's calling to everyone else in the church. Maybe this is for somebody else. This message is for other people. But it's not for me." So you believe the gospel is right and good. But you don't believe it's for you. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Is that you, dear friends? You don't believe it's for you. Maybe this is the case with this man. This man, as I've already explained, he brought his son to be healed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must have known that the Lord Jesus Christ was a great healer. He must have heard about all the miracles, otherwise he wouldn't have brought his son. But already his disciples cannot help him. He must be thinking to himself, well, maybe the Lord Jesus can heal everybody else, but not me, but not my son. See, that was sort of in him. The Lord heals everyone else, but not me. Dear friends, that is so often sadly the case with people who come into this church. God will hear everyone else. He'll be good to everyone else. He'll save everyone else, but not me. But that is so sad if you believe that, dear friends. Do you believe that? God will heal everyone else, but not me. The gospel doesn't apply to me. Or maybe you think this. Maybe you think your case, like this man, is too hard. It's too difficult. Remember the case of his son, how he had been, the demon had been tearing him. He'd been foaming, gnashing at the teeth. He was pining away. He had been so long in that state, and his disciples can't even help. Well, maybe the father is thinking to himself, this is just too hard a case for God. It's too hard a case. And it even comes through in verse 22. If thou canst do anything, as if the Lord Jesus might not be able to help in this particular manner. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's not sure. This case is too hard, even for the Lord Jesus. Well, again, people can come into a place such as this and they will say to you, I am too far gone. I'm too bad a sinner. You don't know. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand the things I've done. You don't understand the things I've seen. Maybe you think your case is too hard for the Lord Jesus. Or maybe you've been too long in that position, in that situation. Again, people towards the end of their lives will say, I've spent my whole life without Christ. My whole life. I've heard the gospel over so many years, I've rejected it every single time. I'm too far gone now. Dear friends, that is not true. The Lord Jesus Christ is almighty to say. Dear friends, let me put it to you in this way. Let me add this. If you think that you are too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ, in a way, it's a kind of pride. It's a kind of pride, as if you're too hard for the Lord. I'm a special case. God can save anyone else. He can save the Apostle Paul. He can save all the other great examples of Christians, but he can't save me. It's almost like a pride. I'm too hard. I've defeated God with my unbelief and my sin. That's pride. Dear friends, you have to humble yourself before the Lord. God can save you. God is able to save even the hardest. Do you think you're too hard for God? Lay aside all your pride. God can save you in a second if he wanted to. Why does he not? Well, look at these words here. So this man said to the Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything, I'm not sure if you can help. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But in verse 23, the Lord Jesus, he puts it back on him. No, it's not a case of whether he can help. Of course he can help. What is it a case of? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, God can do anything. God can save anybody. God has done it in the past. He will do it again. It's not a problem with God if you're not saved. It's a problem with you. You will not believe. You will not have faith. That is the problem. So the Lord Jesus puts it back on him. It's not a problem with me not being able to help you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You need to cry out to God. You need to say to the Lord, remove my unbelief. Remove all my doubts. Remove all my objections. Remove this thinking that God is not interested in me, that God doesn't want to save me. God is calling to you. God does want to save you. The problem is you don't believe it. It's you. You don't believe it. Anything is possible if you believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. So, dear friends, you must believe. This is how you pray. If you don't have belief, this is what people will say to you. I don't have any belief. I don't have any faith. You're saying to me to believe? Well, how can I? Well, look at these words. Just cry out to God and say, Lord, give me the faith. If you don't believe, say these words. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord will help you. The Lord will bless you with faith. It's because you never say these words. You have not because you ask not. But this is how it is done. Lord, I need faith. I don't have faith, but I need faith. And we must have faith in Christ, that he is the only way to God. There is no other way I can go to. There is no other path I can flee to. He is the only way to God because he's the only one who has died for my sins. There's no other. Nothing else in any other religion that tells me of someone who has taken the punishment for my sin. Go and search all the other religions. There's nothing like that at all. It's only Christ who, out of love, stands in our place, condemned to die, punished in our place for our sins. Somebody needs to take the price for your sin that you have committed in your life. There is no other except Christ. Father, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment that they may be forgiven, that they may be accepted by God, that they may have everlasting life. Dear friends, you must believe that. And the Lord, well, he is calling you even this day. Cry out to him. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Give me that faith. Give me that gift of faith. And he will. This man was healed, of course. The son, rather, was healed. Let us just look at the healing because it's so wonderful. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. The demon comes out of him and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So this young man, the Lord removes the demon out of him. At first, he looks as though he's dead, this young man, but he is not dead. The Lord Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up. Well, what a picture of conversion. Even those two verses you could have preached from. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it's like, isn't it? The old person dies. The old person that you once were is gone. And many people notice it. Everybody says, what happened to the old person? You used to like watching this and doing this, and you used to say this, and you never used to like going to church. What has happened to you? Everyone will say, it's as though he's dead, but he is not dead. He has a new life, this person who has come to Christ. And it's the Lord Jesus who takes him by the hand and lifts him up. This is what the Lord does. Do you doubt this? Again, is this your belief and your unbelief? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in the gospel. You know it's good to come to Christ. But maybe you have unbelief that it will be better than your present life. You don't believe that if I come to the Lord, there is true joy, there is true peace. You sort of think to yourself, well, actually, I'll be better just where I am. I believe, but also I don't believe. I think I'm better as I am. Is that you? You believe, but there's unbelief? Dear friends, come to the Lord. You will see for yourself new life, new understanding of spiritual things, a new hope, a new joy in your heart that no man can take away from you, new strength, strength to resist temptation. This demon was taken away from this man when we come to Christ. Well, all of our demons are taken away in one sense. We have power over our sins that we never had before. The Lord has removed these things. We don't love our sins anymore. We love the Lord. This is a picture of Christian conversion. And this young man, well, he would never be the same again. Surely him and his father would praise the Lord forevermore. That's what we have, everlasting life ahead of us. Dear friends, this is a challenge to each and every one of us. These words are not just for this man. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough simply just to believe in God. It's not enough simply just to believe that God exists. You have to believe in Christ. You have to believe he is the only way to God because he is the only one who has died for your sins. So this is the message before us. This is the cry of the Father. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. May the Lord help and assist each one of us this day.